Good morning, all of you. I hope you had all a good sleep. Just some health and safety issues, like in the airplanes. Life jackets are under your seat. The exits are over there. So if the speakers can turn up during the breaks, not here at the lecture, but see me, myself, or the technical people in the back, so we can try your lectures out. We don't want too many people here on the front. Me is at the moment enough. And I leave it over to Jay Pesikoff, who is going to be the chairman of this morning.
I see some questions in front of me already. I'm looking forward to hearing the lecture. The first thing I want to do is thank very much Patrick, Quatrebin, and Joanne for their wonderful organization of this meeting. The program looks interesting through and through, and for their shepherding of the Solar Fist mailing list for the last 7 years, and we're very grateful. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's my pleasure this morning to first introduce Barry Jones, Professor of Astronomy at the Open University, which of course is the institution that we are glad to be visiting now. I've known Barry for a long time. We happen to have several overlapping interests. In particular, he is obviously interested in eclipses and studying shadow bands at eclipses. He's the world's expert on shadow bands, and it's very nice to see these scientific results about shadow bands. Also, Barry and I have been working together for some years on the Commission for Education and Development of the International Astronomical Union, of which I happen to be the president, and he, I'm glad to say, is the vice president now, and I've been very happy to work with him. He runs a newsletter out of the Open University and other duties, and we're very interested in ideas we may get from you about how to spread education around the world. We have a website at astronomyeducation.org that links to things like eclipses.info, I look forward to a lot of educational things coming out of this meeting. I hope somebody, maybe even Patrick, will write it up for our newsletter. In any case, both for his astronomical expertise and for his role as host of the Open University, I'm glad to introduce Professor Barry Jones.
Thank you for those kind words, Jay. And it's my pleasant duty to welcome you to Solar Eclipse Conference 2004. This is the second Solar Eclipse Conference. The first one was in Antwerp in October 2000, and I was very glad to have attended that. It was a splendid occasion. Since then, there have been two totality day meetings here, just one day meetings devoted mainly to the results of a recent solar eclipse. And this now is the second solar eclipse conference. When I thought there might be another one, I invited Patrick to host it here, put it here. I'm the local host, if you like, and I was delighted when he accepted and the organisation went ahead. Well, as Jay has already said, of course, we've got a lot of grateful thought to Patrick and Joanne, and also to my secretary, Tracy Moore. People like me stand at the end of the words, but she's done all the work. not much at all. I also want to welcome you to the Open University. It's the first and still one of the biggest distance teaching universities in the world. We have a quarter of a million students distributed across the UK and the EC and beyond. They study a wide variety of courses, including astronomy and planetary science courses. It's possible to do a sort of joint honours degree with astronomy and planetary science as a prominent component. And we're just about to introduce a certificate in astronomy, which is at sub-degree level, but that would just be in astronomy and planetary science. In addition, at post-degree level, we offer PhDs and master's degrees by research in the conventional sort of way on campus. You've probably not seen any students on campus, that's because there aren't any undergraduates, but there are about 200 PhD students. I must also welcome you, of course, to Milton Keynes, which is a very singular city. It's pretty unique in the UK. It's the UK's most recent city. It's got 250,000 people. It's a very low density of population, and this explains why you can easily drive through Milton Keynes and think that all you've seen is roundabouts and tree-lined roads. In fact, there really is a city beyond the roundabouts and the roads, but you have to go dig in to find it. It's actually rather a nice place, I find, to live, to work, and to recreate. I want to turn now, just very briefly, to solar eclipses. I have a long history of rather unusual interest in solar eclipses. Jay has already mentioned my interest in shadow bands, and I'll end with a very brief two minutes on those. But before that, I want to point out one of my other interests, which started in 1973, and it's to do with atmospheric waves. Now, believe it or not, on the left, that's me, 1973, and up at Lake Turkana, or Lake Rudolph, as it was in northern Kenya, did my first sort of serious bit of work. And a rather disreputable looking guy on the right is Rick Bogart, who's now at Stanford University. He's a solar physicist. Behind us in that wooden box, there's a microbarometer. And this we were using in our first attempt to detect ground level atmospheric waves produced by the cooling action of the moon as it goes across the atmosphere. And you get these waves, and we were hoping to detect them. We just had that one very simple, not very good, it must be admitted, detector. We also have a gin bottle, which you won't be able to see on our This is an absolutely essential component of any solar eclipse expedition, of course. And you probably won't believe me when I say the water in that was used to keep the pen on the chart and corner moist. Believe that, you believe anything. This work continued until 1999, and it evolved. And this is when we had a solar eclipse fairly near to Britain, and I was hoping to pick up the atmospheric waves here. You can see that silver colour, the microbarometer? The microbarometer has grown hugely in size, and it has now become an array. I had an array of these things spread all across southern Britain. And my final attempt was in 1999, in Cornwall and southern Britain. You'd be surprised that one could get data under a very cloudy sky, but of course with atmospheric waves, it doesn't matter if it's cloudy, so I was actually able to get data in 1999. But I've given up now, because I realise, and I don't believe anybody who's claimed to detect atmospheric waves in this sort of way at ground level. I think there's too much interesting structural noise in the atmosphere, and it's extremely hard, and I would say virtually impossible, to dig out the eclipse signal. There are other ways to do it. But the shadow band's work continues, and I'll end by just showing you this not very good photograph, it would appear, of shadow bands, but I think it's a truly remarkable one. You see the striations there. Most of us miss shadow bands because we're busy looking up as totality approaches and as it ends, second and third contact. In fact, you need to look down to see shadow bands because that's where they are on the floor, which is a very difficult thing to do. You have to make it separate. But anyway, you can see the striations there, which is an atmospheric turbulence phenomenon. The remarkable thing about this picture is it's on the wing of a DC-3 in flight. For the life of me, imagine how you can photograph shadow bands in those circumstances. I can only assume that the plane was flying this way, right along the bands, and therefore they weren't blurred out by the motion of the plane. But anyway, this work continues. I was giving a talk here this afternoon on shadow bands. Unfortunately, I've been quite seriously ill, and I had to duck out about a few weeks ago, and I wasn't sure I'd be feeling up to it. Fortunately, I recovered pretty well, and I could, after all, have given a talk, but I had to make a decision a few weeks ago. So unfortunately, this is all you're going to see on shadow bands, but I'd be very happy to talk about them at any time. Just buttonhole me during the rest of the conference. So, welcome again, and now let's just get on with the program. Thank you very much.
some. In fact, there was one set of people who wanted to see if the moon was focusing neutrinos from the sun and who wanted to concentrate in the center of the eclipsed moon during the eclipse with a lot of photography. And somehow I couldn't bring myself to devote a lot of attention to the dark center of the moon. I wonder what I might have missed.